Let's just pray and ask God to bless us. Father, thank you that we can turn to your word. We ask that you will speak to us as we participate in this service here today. We have come longing for more blessings than we've received before. We know that we have a great need of you. So we just ask that you would speak to our hearts today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The land of Egypt was a land of freedom. It was the time of Joseph, when Joseph had sent the invitation to his family to come. And the carts had arrived and the family had packed up and they had gone to the land of Egypt where there was plenty of food and provision for their family. But as time had gone on, Joseph had died. The leadership in Egypt had changed. And it had transitioned from a land of freedom and plenty to a land of slavery. God's people were no longer free to worship as they wanted to. They were slaves in a foreign land. And they began crying out to God. And as our scripture reading stated, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. You see, there was a man named Moses who had been called to lead his people out of slavery and into freedom. He had been born under a death decree and had been preserved by the power of God. He started out thinking he was going to save God's people by his own ability, his own leadership skills, and he ended up spending 40 years as a shepherd, learning how to simply work with difficult creatures and learning how to trust God. And then he was sent back with a message from God to the highest ruler in the world at that time. The message was, "Let my people go." The slaveholders persistently resisted. And then some amazing things started happening in the land of Egypt. The water turned to blood. And then frogs covered the land. There were the lice, the flies, the disease of the livestock, the boils, the hail, the locust, and the darkness. One by one by one, God had sent messages, tangible messages to that land saying, if you don't submit to what God wants, there will be trouble. And finally, we come to the last message that went out. And the message was that there will be an angel that passes through the land. And in every home in which the blood is not on the doorposts, the firstborn of man and beast will die. There is a legend that states that in one of these homes, the oldest daughter was sick. But she knew what had been decreed. She was acquainted with the fact that a lamb had been chosen for every family, that its blood was to be sprinkled across the top and sides of the doorposts, so that the destroying angel would not smite the firstborn. And that day, as time went on, she started becoming anxious. And she called her father to her side, and she asked that key question, "Have you marked the doorposts with blood?" The father confidently said to his daughter, I have given directions concerning this matter. My servants understand the importance of sprinkling these doorposts. Do not worry. It has been done. The night came on, and the daughter was still restless and worried. And again and again and again she asked the question, "Are you sure the doorposts are marked with blood?" And again the father kept assuring her that the job had been done, his servants were trustworthy. Midnight approached, and her pleading voice was heard saying, "Father, I'm just not sure. Take me in your arms and show me that the blood is on the doorposts." And so the father gathered his daughter in his arms, carried her to the door. And when he opened the door, to his horror, he realized that the blood was not there. That father grasped the hyssop, quickly dipped it in the blood, and with his own hand applied the blood to the doorposts of that home. Is the blood on the doorposts? You see, that father could have honestly believed that the blood was there. But if it had not have been there, he would have lost his daughter that night. You see, the father was to act as the priest of the household. In the absence of a father, the oldest son was to take that role. But the crucial thing that night was for the blood to be applied to the doorposts. That night was a fascinating combination of fear and hope. You see, that night they realized that if the blood was not on the doorpost, their firstborn would die. But it was also that night that they were told, "Tonight is the night of deliverance. Once the investigation has been complete, freedom will come." And that was the message. The angel will go from house to house, and when it's complete, we will be set free to leave. Scripture tells us that that night, the angel did pass through the land. And in every home in which the blood was not on the doorposts, the firstborn died. Scripture also tells us that it was that night that God's people walked away from Egypt and began their journey to the promised land. That night became celebrated as the Passover. And by the way, this weekend is actually Passover weekend. By the calendar, this is the weekend that is memorial of that Passover service. And so I think it's significant that today we are celebrating this communion service. So what is the connection? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That blood that was applied to the doorpost that protected the firstborn in Egypt was symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are told that it's not enough for the Paschal Lamb to be slain. Its blood had to be sprinkled on the doorposts. And so the merit of Christ's blood must be applied to the soul. We have to believe not only that he died for the world, but that he died for us individually. We as Christians have the Word of God. We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. But it's not enough to simply believe that Jesus died for your sins. That blood must be applied. We have to accept that cleansing blood into our lives. We have to see that that blood has made a difference by transforming us into the people that God wants us to be. It's crucial for the blood to be on the doorposts. And so I ask you, is the blood on the doorpost? Parents, this is not a work to be entrusted to someone else. Servants may be fine for other things, but for something as crucial as making sure that your firstborn survives, and your second and your third and your fourth and how many there are, it is crucial today to make sure that the blood is applied to the doorposts. Fathers, your primary job as leader of your household is to make sure that that blood is on the doorposts. Your job is to make sure that your children have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ as cleansing for their sins. Families, you need to hold the leader of the household accountable. Just as that daughter started asking the father, is the blood on the doorposts? Are you sure the blood is on the doorpost? Families need to be asking the father, is the blood applied? How can we be sure? How can we see and look and make sure that we are safe in this world? Our only safety is having the blood on the doorpost. This morning we have some symbols on this table in front of us. We have the bread, and we have the grape juice, symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. And today we have the privilege of, in essence, applying the blood to the doorposts, of accepting the body and blood of Jesus Christ as our strength and as our cleansing. And the crucial thing is that we must understand that the blood must be applied. It's not enough that Jesus died for you. It's not enough that Jesus shed his blood for you. We must accept the gift. Now, there are a lot of people who are reluctant to participate in communion service. And that reluctance is born perhaps as a result. I thought that I had the text up there, but I'm going to read it for us here. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 27, it says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so Scripture calls us to examination. Examination to see if we are going to accept this gift in an unworthy manner. Now let me explain to you that the only way that one can accept this gift in an unworthy manner is if they are saying, I am going to continue my own way. I am choosing not to go in the way that Jesus wants me to go. But you know, if you're sitting here today, and if someone is saying, you know, I'm not sure I'm ready to make that kind of a choice. There's something that we all need to understand. And that is, just as the children of Israel were sitting there, they had no option to suddenly change the channel and not be involved. There they were in their homes. They had two options. They could either apply the blood to the doorposts and live, or they could refuse and they could die. It was two options. And today, you and I have two options. One option is to decide that we are going to walk away from the gift, that we are going to walk away from the body and blood of Christ and go our own way and ultimately die in the end. The other option is to realize that today represents the day of deliverance. The option is to realize that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. You see, we don't have the strength to overcome. Back on that night of the Exodus, God's people did not have the strength to deliver themselves. God did not ask them to deliver themselves. What God said was, apply the blood and allow me to deliver you. And so what I am inviting you to do today is to make a decision. And that decision is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. To accept His blood and His death as your death. And to accept His life as your life. Because you see, as the children of Israel were standing there, waiting for midnight to come, waiting for their time of deliverance, waiting for that investigation to complete so that they could be set free to go home. Today, you and I are not just waiting for the investigation to begin. You and I are living in the time of the investigation. The process is moving forward. And house by house and individual by individual, heaven is watching and looking to see if the blood is on the doorposts. And for every individual where the blood is applied, heaven rejoices that there is one more person that will soon be able to go home. And so today I would just urge you to make that decision that you will accept the amazing gift of Jesus Christ. That you will decide that you are going to apply that blood. And that you are going to say, I am going to choose, instead of death, I am going to choose life. I am going to choose to allow Jesus Christ to set me free so that I can go home. Just before Jesus shared the communion service for the first time with his disciples, there's that familiar story. As Jesus sat there, looked around at the disciples, it was an awkward moment because all the disciples knew that one of them should be performing the washing of the feet. But that was servant work, and none of them were prepared. And so Scripture tells us that Jesus got up from the table. He went over and he picked up a bowl and a towel, and he began washing the feet of his disciples. One by one, their whole kingdom concept was being turned upside down. As Jesus made them realize that the kingdom that they were looking for wasn't going to happen, and the kingdom that he was establishing was far different from what they thought. Peter, always the one to speak up, was the one to protest. But you remember what Jesus said to Peter, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part with me in my kingdom." Jesus says to you and I today, "If I do not wash you, if I do not make you clean, you will have no part in my kingdom." What I am so thankful for is we have a God who is willing to come down and pick up a bowl and a towel and do the dirty work that is necessary in order for you and I to be cleansed. And so today, in harmony with Jesus' statement to his disciples that he's given us an example that we should do as he has done for us, we will be participating in a foot washing service, serving one another. I would encourage you, make this a deeply spiritual service. It's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. Pray with one another as you wash each other's feet. Once our foot washing service is over, we will return here to participate in that special communion service. And once again, I would just encourage you, participate. Be part of this service. Allow Jesus Christ to personally minister to you today. As we separate for foot washing service, let me make sure I get the room straight here. The ladies will be in the junior room. The men will be in the cradle room. And for those couples who would like to participate together, they will be in the fireside room. And if you're a visitor here and aren't sure which room to go to, ask one of us and we'll be happy to point you to the right place. And by the way, as a Seventh-day Adventist church, if there are visitors here, we do practice open communion. And that means that anyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are welcome to join us as we accept his amazing gift. Let's pray together as we prepare. Father, you've given us a tremendous gift. You've told us that the destroying power is here. But you, by your blood, you've given us a way to not only be set free from death, but to be set free to live. And I just pray that you will bless us here as we participate in this foot washing service, as we return for communion. Lord, we don't understand the depth of the gift that you've given us, but we are eager to accept you into our lives. And so we pray that you will bless us today as we participate. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.